This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that $150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it. FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
In this town, there is no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
It's always game day in Cleveland, brought to you locally by Smiley One Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Bryant and Smiley One, the right choice for your comfort. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Daryl, we're a couple days away from the Browns and Steelers on Thursday night, but it was a good win for the team that desperately needed it on a short week after a difficult loss to the Jets. And we saw what Cincinnati was able to do against the Jets the following Sunday, which was the day we were recording this. So it's just like kind of put the whole week in perspective here, Daryl, you know, leading up to the Browns-Steelers win.
Well, I mean, thankfully they saved everyone 10 weeks or 10 days of depression by winning that game after what happened against the Jets. Let's be honest about it. It would have been pretty ugly had they lost to the Steelers. Overall, they played really well. Real tough on the injury front, but to get that one in prime time, literally prime time, and to put that Jets loss behind him, I thought was like really, really huge.
Let's talk about Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he's got one interception, one turnover in three games so far, and he has been, I think, better than what most fans expected. If you go back to the Steelers game, 21 of 31, 220 yards, averaged 7.1 yards a throw, and had two touchdowns. You know, and he only got sacked twice. Brissett has been, I mean, I hate to say efficient because efficient's looked upon in a negative way, but Jacoby Brissett is, I think, everything Kevin Stefanski wants.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. He takes care of the ball, does not make critical mistakes, doesn't turn it over. You know, he's not a guy that's going to go out there and throw for 400 yards or put up MVP caliber numbers, but he's also not losing them games. So I said this last week that I feel like Kevin Stefanski would much rather have Jacoby Brissett over Baker Mayfield for that very reason. I think people are starting to see why organizationally during training camp, everybody was on the Jacoby Brissett bandwagon and they got behind him the way they did.
Daryl, when we look at the Browns wide receivers, you know, through three games, but in particular going back to the Steelers game, interesting that Amari Cooper has 21 targets in two games and that Cooper has just been outstanding with Brissett. I mean, these two have been in rhythm for the last two games, and I think people are a little questioning it after the Carolina game, but he comes up with 101 yards on seven receptions with a 32-yard gem and a touchdown to boot on the whole thing. Let's talk a little bit about that connection between Cooper and Brissett.
Well, I mean, whatever was going on in week one, which I think most of it was on Jacoby Brissett's end of things, they seem to have worked it out. Amari with the back-to-back 100-yard receiving games. He's the first Brown to do that since Josh Gordon in 2013. Back in 2013, Gordon did it four straight games. Just kind of puts in perspective how great Josh Gordon was for that one season, for the Browns. Whatever issues they had, I mean, they seemed to work it out. And Kevin Stefanski had talked about after the game how those two have put in a lot of work individually, or I should say collectively together, to get themselves on track here. And it's paid off in these explosive games from Amari. I mean, he could have easily had 150 plus receiving in that game. He had that third down catch that he wasn't able to come up with. There was the deep throw up the far sideline in which he stepped out of bounds, which he acknowledged was obviously his fault and a little bit out of character. He lost where he was on the football field there. He could have easily had over 150 in that game. So that's a great sign for this offense that he, Brissett and Cooper really are on the same page and they're producing.
So where are we with Donovan Peoples-Jones? One reception last two games. He's had four targets over the last two games. And I think people, especially after Carolina, thought that this guy was a clear-cut number two. But I think also in this game against Pittsburgh, we learned that David Njoku has some power out there when they're able to find him, when they're able to get him the ball. I mean, the guy was averaging almost 10 yards a catch on his nine catches that he had against the Steelers, ended up with 89 yards. And, you know, he was 9 of 10 when it comes to targets. And Njoku, I think, on Thursday night against the Steelers was everything they pay for.
Well, I mean, he caught his first seven passes. And it was funny listening to Brissett talk after the game because he's like, yeah, well, every time David comes in the huddle, he talks about how he's open all the time.
He's always open.
Yeah, right.
In case you're wondering.
The bank is always open. But, yeah, I mean, he looked like the player that, as you said, they gave all that money to on the touchdown drive for him. He had three catches for 26 yards on that drive. Showed his physicality, saw him breaking tackles after the catch and that. So, look, the number two receiver thing is going to ebb and flow. Sometimes it's going to be Kareem Hunt. Sometimes it's going to be Nick Chubb. Sometimes it's going to be Donovan Peoples-Jones. Maybe it'll be someone other than those guys at some point. I really liked what I saw from Njoku, and you really got to see why they gave him the money they gave him, because he does have that type of talent. It's just the other thing people have to understand, like, they expect that out of him every single game. And I thought Kevin Stefanski made a great point that, like, there are games where he's asked to do other stuff. And it's just as important as him catching passes and breaking tackles. And obviously I'm referring to the run game. He's a really, really good blocking tight end. And he's a big reason why.
But that's had to emerge since he got here, since Miami. I don't think when he was 19 and he first got here, he had it. I think he does. I didn't.
Well, of course not.
It took a while.
He learned that, playing for Kevin Stefanski. And he obviously deserves credit for that, but he doesn't get credit for it. You know what I mean? Because all fans want to do is they just want to look at the box score and they want to see you number of your catches.
Where's our Travis Kelce, right? Where's our Travis Kelce? That's what they want on him.
And I understand why fans think like that, because, you know, Kevin Stefanski talked about how important the tight end is to his offense. And, you know, and it's something that I was really harping on is, you know, where is the Travis Kelce on this team? Because you're looking for prolific playmaking from that position when you have that kind of money invested in a guy, right?
Right.
But I think you got that Thursday night, and you got exactly what you're looking for from him. So I see a bunch of positives on the offensive side of the ball right now. And Njoku's performance obviously is a big piece of that.
Let's talk about the running attack and the emergence of a fullback with the last name of Froholt. I'm just kidding. I mean, I was going to talk Thunder and Lightning with Chubb and Hunt, but Froholt came in on that inside that deep red zone run for the touchdown and was able to play full. I knew there was just no way that Kevin Stefanski was not going to have a fullback at some point during the season. And, you know, he was hiding Froholt from all of us, and now he got to emerge. And then we'll get to
well, Chubb. I mean, help Chubb get in the end zone.
Yeah.
On that twisting touchdown run near the goal.
I might have been the happiest person in the stadium at that point. I was just excited to have a fullback. Yeah. I love fullback.
I mean, your fullback's been Kareem Hunt, too. Like, Kareem Hunt's been, you know, he's been lining up there as well. Yeah. You're seeing the creativity of Kevin Stefanski, and you're seeing, when you look at some of the personnel groups he's used, when you look at some of the formations he's using, the play calls, you're only as good as the execution of the guys on the field. And Thursday night, the guys on the field executed. So Stefanski looks really, really good. But I mean, he has had some drives. I go back to the opening drive against the Jets, which, like, I mean, that was like the Leonardo da Vinci of play calling right there. And execution, it really was a thing of beauty. We're seeing a lot more tackle eligible formations, you know, and they're it comes down to execution. They're executing what he's calling. That, like, that to me is the difference. I did not expect that the Browns offense would be averaging what they're averaging on the scoreboard. It is somewhat surprising to me. But you know, when you look at where they are 3 weeks in, Andy, they have 19 more first downs than their opponents have. When you talk about third down conversions, the Browns are converting over 10% more on third down than their opponents are, right? I mean, we're going to talk about the defense later in the podcast, but you know, that was something we'd always bellyache about, was third down, both offense and defense. And right now those numbers are, excuse me, they're outstanding. Time of possession, they dominated that game. They really dictated the pace and flow of the game, had the ball for 11 more minutes than the Steelers had. And you look at net yardage too. I mean, they have outgained their opponents 1136 to 971. Average per game, is they're averaging 50 yards more per game than their opponent. They're running almost 40 more plays per game than their opponents right now. The 572 rushing yards is the most since, I think, 1958, if I remember correctly. That was the note that Dan Murphy, the outstanding PR guy for the Browns, put out there. So when you look at this offense right now, you know, for all intents and purposes, they're pretty much firing on all cylinders. The fact that 29, 30, and 26 points in each of the first three games. If I went back through the media guide, Andy, year after year after year, we would be in double digits in the blink of an eye, counting the years where the Browns struggled to score 20 points per game in a single season. And they have this type of offensive output. So I think that's a credit not only to Kevin Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt, but obviously it's a credit to the players because they're going out there and they're executing what Stefanski's put in front of them.
Daryl, we're going to talk about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt here in a second, but just to kind of pile on a little bit more, the Browns are tied for second in rushing touchdowns in the NFL through Sunday night's game. So just going up to Sunday night's games, the Browns have 5. They're tied with the Lions on that. The Eagles have 6. In terms of 20 yards or more runs, the Browns lead the league in that. They have 6. The Bears and Jags have 5. Rush yards, you touched on it because of how big they've been through the first 3 games of the season. 572 compared to 560 for the Bears. So they're not too far behind. But when it comes to attempts, man, the Browns are 10 ahead of the Bears on top of that. 114 to 104, and then the Eagles come in third. And this is after 3 weeks, and they've consistently been in that spot. All right, let's talk about Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and we'll do that when we come back. It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. If you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Always a pleasure to have you on board. And it's also brought to you locally by Smiley One Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Bryant and Smiley One, the right choice for your comfort. Let's talk about Nick Chubb. Let's talk about Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb's ability to, and I don't know if there's a stat that exists, and if there is, I'll probably have to ask Matt again about it. But, you know, we talk about the yak whenever it comes to a wide receiver who catches a pass and it's yards after contact or yards, yards after contact. So, but when it comes to running, I wish we had a stat, and maybe they do, and I just need to look it up a little bit. They do. Yards after line of scrimmage. Or yards after contact.
It's yards after contact.
And which was, I believe, that I had heard that Chubb had
league leaders there.
Yeah, he had 102 of his 113 against the Steelers in yards after contact. To me, that is just absolutely 100% mind-blowing what he is able to do. That it seems like when most running backs go down, Nick Chubb gives you another 5 or 6 yards.
Well, he had 112.
Yep.
Against the Carolina Panthers in week 1 after contact. So yeah, wow. It's a thing. He's one of the best in the league after contact. He runs through tackles like you can't believe. Kareem Hunt is pretty much the same way, maybe not up there statistically like Nick Chubb is, but you have 2 very physical backs that run through contact. I don't want to say that Nick Chubb looks for contact or whatever, but I've not seen anything like it in my life. When I see running backs that are dominating other teams, usually because they're just, breaking, they're breaking through and into the secondary in that where, Nick Chubb is still running guys over in the secondary. It really is impressive, but yeah, he, both of his 100 plus yard games, this season, he has over 100 yards of that coming after contact. That's just mind-boggling to me.
The other part of the rushing game, which I thought was interesting going into this thing, Daryl, was the fact that Dearness Johnson was finally active for a game, and yet they didn't use him. So, I mean, I don't. What's going to happen to him? They're going to have to trade him eventually, right?
Probably. He's. You know what he is? He's an insurance policy right now. If something happens, because we saw last year, their depth at running back got decimated by injury and by COVID. So that's what he is. He's an insurance policy right now. I don't know what his trade value would be. I don't know if you could get much of anything for him at this point, Andy, but that's just kind of how I feel like where DeErnest is, that he's basically the insurance policy. The fact, though, that the Dimitri Felton punt return experiment lasted a grand total of 2 weeks is somewhat telling. And look, it is what it is. They lost their returner. The Browns have not had quality return game play since Josh Cribbs was doing it for them. You know what? I'll take that back. I thought Travis Benjamin, let's give Travis Benjamin some love. He did a nice job in the return game for them years ago. But honestly, since then, it's been an adventure there. So they're, going through that cycle. But yeah, DeErnest right now, I think, is insurance policy for Chubb, for Hunt. Should something happen to one of them, he's ready to step in and, you know, carry that load. And, you know, we'll see if we get closer to the trade deadline here toward the end of October, if, you know, there's any interest or any need, and maybe the Browns can flip him for a future asset. But his value right now to them is just basically to be standing by and ready to go when called upon.
All right, let's flip over to the defense here for a second. As much as people wanted to complain about the way the defense didn't look very good in the first half, and
they gave up almost 200 yards in the first half, 197. Yeah. That's not optimal.
But they only gave up 3 points in the second half. And I think at the end of the day, you have to, as much as people want to jump on Joe Woods, I mean, you got to look back and go, okay, they only gave up 3 points in the second half. They gave up one play late in the game that you're like, okay, I understand it was kind of a prevent defense situation. But in the second half, they did what they needed to do to seal the win. Although special teams is another story, because I think half of the city was on its, you know, on its head and not onside kick at the end of the game.
As well as Kevin Stefanski. Stefanski was asked what was going through his head during the onside kick. And there was like, we got to 10 Mississippi before he finally said a lot.
Right.
And that's all he said. You know, bottom line is that ball got knocked out of bounds, which is what probably should happen against the Jets. And they were able to ultimately hold on and win the game. But the defense deserves credit. They gave up around 108 yards in the second half after almost giving up two Bills in the first. As you mentioned, just 3 points in the second half. They really stepped it up. But when you look at this defense, they're at their worst in the second and the fourth quarters. The first and the third quarter, they've pitched shutouts this year, believe it or not. They've not allowed a single point in the first or the third quarter this year. But in the second quarter, they've given up 35 points and been outscored by 5 points. And in the fourth quarter, they have also been outscored by 5 points and allowed 37 total points. So of their 72 points, they all come in the second and fourth quarter. It is bizarre to think about that. But, I mean, they deserve credit for how they played Thursday night in that second half because, you know, getting off the field quickly with those three and outs the way they did in that third quarter and getting the ball back into the hands of Jacoby Brissett and the offense really allowed the Browns to just chew time off the clock. I mean, you look at the scoring drives, Andy, you couldn't draw it up any better. You know, 7 plays, 60 yards. They did it in 3 minutes. 12 plays, 79 yards, did it in 6 minutes. They got a field goal off a 14 play, 70-yard drive that took over 7 minutes off the clock. They had an 11 play, 80-yard drive that chewed 6.5 off the clock. Like, you can't draw that up any better when you're talking about that complementary football. And I also think that the offense, you know, helped the defense stay fresh. You know, I honestly believe in that Jets game toward the end of the game, they were gassed a little bit and understandably so. But they were not gassed in that game Thursday night. And when you look at how it ended, like they learned their lesson. They 30 yards down the field, they lined up 5 guys in a straight line across the 35 yard line. I forget which one it was, but they just lined 5 guys up there. And the Steelers did that hot potato play that Denzel Ward ruined a lot of nights for those that may have had a financial interest in the final score of the game.
Yes, yes, very much. Yes.
We're allowed to say that. We can say
that.
You
can say that.
And by him falling on that fumble in the end zone, it'll look great on his stat line at the end of the season. The fact that he scored a touchdown, the fact that he recovered a fumble and whatnot. But I think that the defense deserves, and Joe Woods deserve, a lot of credit for that second half and what they were able to do in limiting Mitch Trubisky and really making life difficult on him in the final 30 minutes.
All right, Daryl, I want to kind of go through the injury list, and I'm going to go through it and where we started on September 20th. So I'm going to go back to September 20th on this. Chase Winovich was placed on the injured reserve with a hamstring injury. Jesse James, the tight end, wouldn't have the opportunity to play against Pittsburgh, the former Steeler, bicep injury. Then you get into the 22nd, and Ronnie Harrison Jr. that does not look good. Dimitri
hamstring Felton, and warm-up. Hamstring injuries and warm-ups, never a good thing.
No. Michael, I'm just looking at some of the guys that were out for the game the other day, but injury. And then Jadeveon Clowney was out for the game. Chris Hubbard was out for the game. I mean, you're just looking
at Anthony Walker for the season. That is a major, major loss for them.
Taven Bryant, Jed Wills, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, all these guys either lost or banged up from the game or right around the game. So the injury bug, this 10-day layoff has been kind of a blessing, especially for these guys that might be able to fix what's going on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who's on the practice field Monday morning as we record this on a Sunday night. I don't anticipate a lot of those guys that you named actually being on the practice field Monday. I can see them getting them as much rest as humanly possible. But the injuries are kind of starting to pile up a little bit here. The Jadeveon Clowney ankle injury is concerning, especially if it's the high ankle variety. Those things can take weeks to heal. I was told JOK, it's not too serious with the groin injury, but those are always problematic. So it wouldn't shock me if he was unable to play in Atlanta next Sunday. So, and again, you lose Anthony Walker. The good news is you basically had co-starters at that position with both Anthony Walker and Jacob Phillips. And how about Jacob Phillips, the job
here? Yeah, unbelievable.
Holy smokes, coming in off the bench, had a sack. Couple of big tackles. I mean, you want to talk about announcing your presence with authority. My goodness gracious. So let's show him a little love here too. But the injury thing is going to be something we'll be watching all week heading into this Falcons game.
All right, Daryl, let's take one more time out. We're going to give you some more big picture stuff on the Browns as we start getting ready and turn the page as we start to warm up as Atlanta is the next stop for the Browns, and they'll be on the road Sunday. So we're going to talk a little bit about what needs to happen this week and other storylines that are concerning your Cleveland Browns. It's always game day in Cleveland, and he's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. If you like what you're listening to, well, subscribe to the podcast. And you can always, always, always get a hold of us. In fact, Daryl, I think we should probably do a mailbag by the end of this week. How do you feel about that?
I think we can do that.
At Game Day CLE, at Game Day CLE. On either Twitter or Instagram. He's Daryl. I'm Andy. Back after this. It's always game day in Cleveland. He is Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Unfortunately, like last week when the Browns did lose to the Jets, the rest of the AFC North lost. In this scenario for week three, the only team that lost in the AFC North was the Steelers. The Bengals finally getting their first win and the Ravens also getting a win on Sunday. So we've got the bottleneck atop first place in the AFC North. And unfortunately, that Jets game just really haunts even more now when you think about they could be undefeated this week and the way the Bengals took care of the Jets, it just kind of sucks. I'll be honest. I mean, as I was looking at that game, I'm like, oh, this is what the Browns should have done against these guys.
Yeah, well, Mac Jones suffered an ankle injury in that loss to the Ravens. So remember, the Browns will be playing the Patriots in 3 weeks. They go to Atlanta this week, come home for the Chargers, and then the Patriots come in to visit the week after that. So that'll be something to keep our eye on. But also at the same time, look, I mean, the Patriots are not invincible. I realize it's Bill Belichick, and he commands all the respect that he receives and he deserves. But, you know, the Patriots aren't necessarily invincible, and that Mac Jones injury is something that we're going to have to, you know, keep an eye on the health of Justin Herbert. He's playing a little banged up for the Chargers right now. That too is something to watch on. But you're right. I mean, we're going to keep looking back, Andy. I'm telling you, and it's hard. Like, the Browns aren't. Clearly, they're not. But we will. We're going to keep looking back at that Jets game, and we're going to be saying woulda, coulda, shoulda about it. And it's really going to stink if we get to early January and the Browns are right there in the thick of everything. And if they finish one game out, right, they needed one more win, and we're just going to be like, we're going to be saying a lot of four-letter words if that Jets game ultimately ends up costing them a playoff spot. Right now, they're tied atop the division with the Ravens at 2-1. They should be 3-0, but the fact of the matter is they're 2-1, and they've got to go to Atlanta, where the Falcons are coming off a win. Atlanta turn around, and they were a winner. They beat Seattle 27-23. So they're going to be feeling good about themselves as they wait for the Browns to come to town.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Daryl, Miami is 3-0 right now, and I thought the Buffalo Bills were invincible.
I did not think that the Philadelphia Eagles would be 3-0.
No.
I wasn't sure the Eagles were going to win three games the whole season, and they are 3-0 as well.
And the other big shocker on Sunday was obviously the Chiefs losing to the Colts 20-17.
But you got to admit, the Bills and Dolphins provided us with the highlight for centuries to come. The butt punt.
Yes.
And
my son was showing – wait, so I wasn't watching football at the time, and he walked up and he goes, "Dad, what's a butt punt?" And I go, "I don't know what happened." He goes, he's trying to explain. And then he's like, "Just look at the video." I was like, "Oh, the butt punt. I get it now.
His protector right in the can, and the still. God bless the photographer that captured it. But there was a photographer, Andy, that caught the football on the protector's backside, like photo of the year nominee. But this is why you play the games,
It is why you play. Like, you can't assume you're going to beat the Sunday Jets, thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the any given Sunday thing is really, really true. It really is. The unfortunately, like, where the Browns are concerned, it never really applied to them for, like, 20 years. But now that we're in the Kevin Stefanski – by the way, this is the third straight year they're 2-1. If they win Sunday, it'll be the third straight year that they start 3-1 under Kevin Stefanski. which that has like not happened since like the 1950s. I got to go back and double check that, but I'm pretty sure like you got to go back to like the 1950s for like three straight years of three wins in the first four games. So it is a positive that they let's put it this way. They're where I thought that they would be.
All right, Darryl, let me ask you this. What's the most shocking? Let's go through the ones with zeros.
The fact that the Raiders are winless, that's a little shocking to me.
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
Them being 0-3, that's a pretty big surprise, because even though I know the AFC West is just such a meat grinder of a division with all those offseason moves, I thought like the Raiders were going to challenge the Broncos and Chiefs. Like, I honestly thought there was a chance that all three wild cards could come from the AFC West, just with the way that division is, you know, set up. I don't think that's going to happen now, especially with the Raiders off to the 0-3 start. Usually when you start 0-3, your season's pretty much over at that point. I don't know what the numbers are off the top of my head, but you start 0-3 to a season, your chances of making the playoffs are basically slim to none. But yeah, that's a little bit of a surprise to me. You know, the Rams have kind of bounced back a little bit from that week one shellacking courtesy of the Bills. You mentioned the Bills losing to Miami.
I still can't believe the Bills lost. I mean, I know Miami's 3-0, and look, Miami's playing good football right now. And, you know, we were talking about just combinations and what Tua was able to do in the first 2 weeks. And I'm trying to remember.
The New York Jets starts of the season, their starts of the season is the entire AFC North. Their first four games are the AFC North. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that is kind of weird how that happened.
Yeah, started with the Ravens, then the Browns. They had the Bengals today. Next week, they have the Steelers. How about that for some bizarre scheduling?
Well, you know, again, the Browns hit this big, heavy part of the schedule after this Atlanta game. And so.
Yeah, they do. That's why they got, that's why they got to kind of, this is their get fat time, right?
Right.
I thought we going into the season, we had talked about it. I thought 3-1 was realistic. 4-0 was possible, but 3-1 was more realistic. And look, if they win Sunday, yeah, I mean, this is where I thought they would be, 3-1. So you're talking about a team, an offense, in my view, that is a little bit above my expectations. I didn't expect that they were going to be averaging 25 plus points per game.
No.
I knew the running game was good. I never expect the Browns to be dominant in anything, because quite frankly, the Browns haven't been dominant in anything for generations.
Amen.
So like, I don't have an expectation that it's going to be dominant. I see the potential there for them to be dominant, but once they get done with Atlanta, man, you got the Chargers, the Patriots at home. Then you got to go to Baltimore. You come back home for the Bengals. You have your bye week, and then trips to Miami and Buffalo. And home for Tampa Bay. And then guess what happens then? Deshaun Watson hopefully will be allowed to play starting December 4 when they go to Houston to take on the Texans. But
I want to talk about that later in the week too, because I hope that fans don't have great expectations of him that first week of the season. I know people are like, oh, Michael Vick.
And you know what you're going to keep? You know what you're going to talk about?
What?
If Jacoby Brissett keeps playing the way he's playing,
it's gonna, you know, this
bother
is
to make a change.
I'll be honest with you. This is what I wanted, though. I wanted him to make it hard on the team. I wanted him to do it, and he's doing it right now.
You really want to disrupt the flow of everything by making a change? If he keeps playing at the level that he's playing at, Andy, he's completing over 67% of his passes for the Browns right now. 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I know it's just, you know, we're talking small sample size here, but. He's a big reason why this team should be 3-0, but they're 2-1 and, they hopefully have been able to rest over the weekend here in this mini bye. We went through the list of injuries that's going to be the story from my standpoint going into this Falcons game, is just where they are health wise coming out of this mini bye, because they are banged up. And they've losing Anthony Walker is a big loss, but they got Jacob Phillips stepping in there. Need to get Ronnie Harrison healthy. need to get Jadeveon Clowney healthy, because one thing we did see without Jadeveon Clowney, Pittsburgh was able to really neutralize Myles Garrett.
It's a good point. It absolutely was. We'll see what happens with Clowney down the road here, too. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland is produced by Meredith Kane. Thank you, Meredith. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. We are back. Let's see. Monday. When are we back? Tuesday? Wednesday.
We'll have podcasts dropping Tuesday morning and Thursday morning.
Tuesday and Thursday. That's when we're back. He's Darryl. I'm Andy. Thanks for listening to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. If you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the podcast. We'd love having you on board and give us feedback. Plus, we want to do a mailbag this week. So if you have questions, send them to us at GameDayCLE. That's on Instagram and Twitter. Everybody, we'll look forward to talking to you about the Falcons as the Browns try to run their record. To 3-1. Let's see if they can do it, and we'll be talking about it all week. Thanks for listening to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.